You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Wallow Radio
on 95BFM.
Wallowie!
Track we're listening to right now is Meant to Be, the opening track from Faraday's new EP Delirium, which came out towards the beginning of this month. So for you, for those of you who are just tuning in and are not familiar with who Faraday are, Faraday is a post-hardcore band from Singapore who've been active for about 12 years. They formed in 2014, and they recently just dropped this awesome EP called Delirium, which is based on the DC comic book series and Netflix series, The Sandman. So we had the opportunity to chat with both Dans from Faraday to talk about the EP, and it was an awesome chat. JC and I were very excited and intrigued to hear about everything they had to say about the EP and The Sandman and how the lyrics connect to the series, as well as, you know, how they're able to use some of the themes in the series as, you know, metaphors for their own perspectives on society and their personal lives. So without further ado, I'll let the guys, both Dans from Faraday, explain the EP for themselves.
All right. Well, once again, thanks so much for coming on to do this interview, especially on a Saturday morning. It's not a morning for us here, but it is for you guys, if I'm correct.
Yeah, it's right. That's right. It's like 11 here, but really it's our pleasure being here, man. Thank you for having us.
Of course, yeah. So to begin, can you guys introduce Faraday and explain to our listeners here in New Zealand what Faraday is?
Wow. Faraday started off back in 2014. It's actually a FYP final year project band that myself and some of the other guys created, because we had to come up with a EP of our own for a final year project. And then we got the name from one of our classes, actually, because we took sonic arts, technically just audio engineering stuff, back in school. And then that's where we were taught that Michael Faraday, who was a scientist, is heavily involved in the electromagnetic field. It actually sparked the idea of the invention of a microphone. And I was like, Michael Faraday, cool guy. And like, hey, he's got a cool name, Faraday. That can be like a band name. And that's how it all started, man.
That's sick. That's sick. So the topic of today's discussion is, you know, a couple of weeks ago, back in the beginning of January, you guys put out an EP called Delirium. So can you tell us a little bit about that release in your own words as well?
So basically, Delirium is the youngest sibling of The Endless. So technically, the whole concept of it, we got it from this series called The Sandman. It's on Netflix here in Singapore. I don't know whether it's available in the New Zealand, but basically talks about the main character, The Sandman, also known as The Lord of Dreams, also known as Morpheus, which is one of the songs in our EP. So technically, the whole concept of the trilogy EP and now Delirium being the first part is to focus on as much of the Endless siblings as possible. So we decided to use Delirium, or we decided to take Delirium as the first character for us to spotlight, because I think that Delirium is quite interesting as a person. Like, if you watch her in the series, she is very different from all the other siblings, even though they all have their special abilities personally. But she is one of a kind, you know? And she used to be Delight. She's the only sibling among all the Endless who actually changed her role technically from Delight to Delirium. And well, if I go on about this, we can go on for like 2 hours, man. But anyway, why we decided to focus on her is because with all the crazy stuff happening in this world, we feel that, hey, I think amongst the chaos, there has to be a sense of calm, a sense of peace. And Delirium, as much as she's, you know, she embodies fragility, she embodies confusion, all the technically that negative stuff. If you see her in the series, she actually shows herself as kind and peaceful. So that's why Delirium was chosen to be the first of the trilogy of all the EPs coming up.
Sick. And Are the tracks on the release and the general concept, you know, are the songs that you've written mainly about the Sandman and the characters from that series, or are there some personal and societal elements that you guys touch on as well?
There's definitely some personal and societal elements, like Masses. So, I mean, Morpheus is definitely about Morpheus. The Masses talks about the society, and if you actually read the lyrics, like, it goes in, settle down now. Welcome to the end of society. Body-filled streets, minds mastered by screens. Because everywhere you go, anywhere you go in this world, like, you will see people generally, like, crowd and whatever not. But everybody's just focused on their phone. That's why, like, body-filled streets, minds mastered by screens. Their chests are empty now because, like, they don't feel anything now, you know? Everybody's just stuck to their screens and everything. So, yeah, that's one of the songs that focuses more on the society aspect. And then Meant to Be, which is the first track of the EP, that specifically talks about Delirium, specifically about how Delirium was looking for her beloved brother, Destruction, and how her journey went. And, like, we kind of put ourselves in her shoes and thought about, like, hey, what would I feel if I was Delirium?
Yeah, it's pretty sick that you guys are able to draw parallels between the series and, you know, your own lives and the things going around you as well.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the beauty of, that's the whole reason why we actually decided to draw inspiration from The Sandman, because I watched, like, the behind the scenes interviews with all the casts and whatnot. And then Morpheus, I can't even remember the main guy's, the actual guy's name. So he says that he's got a theory. So one of his theory is that, you know, you've got all these seven of these endless siblings, like Destiny, Death, Delirium, Destruction, Despair, Desire, and Dream. All of this is actually equals to love. And I would be like, well, that's actually quite interesting. But we decided to take it to another level as a band, because, you know, they've also listed, Endless also has parents. The dad is Time, and the mom is, I can't remember what the mom is, but we kind of perceived it as, you know, instead of love, it's actually life. I don't know, man, we kind of geeked out about it. We were like, oh my god, yeah, man, you think about it, everything in this life has got something to do with the Endless characters.
So, as you guys mentioned earlier, the EP is part of a three-part trilogy. Well, that's what a trilogy is, you know, three parts. But, you know, it's part of a trilogy. So, can you tell us about why you decided to structure the release this way instead of maybe, say, doing, like, a full-length album, for example?
I think we wanted to try something different. Instead of releasing a whole album, we wanted to spotlight the different concepts within the Sandman series. So, in a way, also, we wanted to give more attention to lesser songs in one EP instead of a full-length, like, maybe 10 to 11 songs.
And the bigger picture to that is, it is to actually give our band a timeline. Being in Singapore, playing in a band, it's not like a full-time thing, right? So we all have our day jobs, we all have our lives to live. Some of us have got kids, some of us, actually most of us are married. And then the idea of having a trilogy is so that we keep ourselves relevant, we keep ourselves active, and to give ourselves a timeline, you know, like, hey, by this time we got to get this done, and then by this year we got to get this done, and then at the end of it all, the whole full-length album is going to be a compilation of course all the EPs plus some new songs, which will then become Endless.
We sort of put this pressure on ourselves to work on this upcoming stuff.
Yeah, man,
it's a good stress to feel.
Yeah, it helps you, like, space things out throughout the year, keeps you consistent, and also, like, there's an element of, you know, quality over quantity within each release as well.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
Sweet. The album cover as well is quite interesting. I haven't watched The Sandman myself. JC, I don't know if you've seen the series, but...
I am aware of it, but I am not fully educated compared to both of you guys are. But honestly, like, the concept itself is very unique, because I don't even think I've ever seen many artists that are in that genre that does that. So I think it's really cool that you guys implemented that into a body of work for this EP, right?
Yeah. I think the thing that I wanted to touch upon was, like, you know, the album cover is quite striking. You know, you've got like three, are they tarot cards or like, are they like a specific card related to the series? Or, well, like, what's the significance of that?
It's actually a tarot card, you're right. It's got nothing to do with, I mean, within the series, there wasn't any cards that was involved, but we were discussing, and then our designer, which is our other guitarist, Bob, he was one that came up with the idea of, you know, it was just a general, like, hey, let's do a card, you know, like a card reveal thing. I was like, okay, interesting. And then when we dived in deeper, that's where we realized that, hey, how about we try having a tarot card as a concept for our EP. And then it's like, you know, when you actually meet like a fortune teller, like, you know, they'll ask you questions, and then, you know, they will lay out the cards and do whatever they do, right? And then they will reveal the cards one by one, and then they will explain to you, like, okay, this is what's this card about, and how is that connected to your life, and so on and so forth, right? So that's the idea of why the EP album cover is as such, because it's a trilogy. So if you realize, like, only the delirium card is being turned over, the other two is still
yet to be revealed. Out, right?
It's yet to be revealed. So technically, after every EP release, a new card is going to be revealed. Oh. Then at the end of it, there'll be three cards. And then we'll see how we're going to incorporate that into, like, the whole full album with all the other stuff as well.
Right. So, like, the full album will just be, like, all three cards combined into
all
one.
All three cards plus more. Yeah.
That's sick. So next, like, going back to, I guess, like, your origins as a band, maybe. 2026 marks Faraday's 12th year as a band, you know. So across those 12 years, you know, is there anything that you decided to do sonically on this album that you haven't done on earlier releases of yours?
Yeah. We gotta say, like, I don't think it's a secret anymore. Like, as a band, we listen to a lot of Sleep Token, and we try to grab inspiration off their songs, especially in the last song, which is Motin Tota. Most of the time, I think of the afterlife. Some of the people realized it, some of them didn't, but we've been receiving a lot of response for it, right? People will be like, oh my god, Motin Tota is so cool, and we're like, hey, thank you. And sonically, it's really very different from all the other songs that we've written even before this. Specifically, the way I sing, I tend to use a lot of more of the low mids, yeah, then.
Yep.
Yeah, a lot of my lower register in that song. But, you know, as much as possible, we want to steal ideas, but we don't want to copy Sleep Token fully. So it was a struggle for, you know, for us to, like, get that sweet spot of my voice to say that, hey, you don't sound like Vessel. You sound like Vessel. No, you don't. I don't want you to sound like Vessel. Like, result, Dan with that. Yeah. By the way, we are both Dan, so we call each other Dan. Anyway, Dan has been telling me, like, okay, no, you sound too much like Vessel, like, ease out on the accent. Like, oh, man.
Wait, were you singing in a British accent?
Yes, I was. I was without even realizing. But sonically, that was very different from everything else we've done right then. And to not incorporate any screams in the song, that was also a challenge for us as well.
And specifically for this song, we also explored more orchestral instruments as compared to, like, synthesizer sounds. It was quite a fun experience trying to come up with the melodies and the rhythms.
And aside from Sleep Token, I think, like, some of the influences that I maybe picked up on, you know, listening to the EP were bands like, you know, North Lane, Thornhill, those kinds of bands. Could you tell us maybe about some of the other influences aside from Sleep Token that also went into this release?
Dang, North Lane is spot on, especially for Riza. He listens to a lot of North Lane. Personally, for me, the other most significant influence is definitely going to be Architect. Sam Carter is in his own league. I'm always been very inspired by the way he scream sings. That's why. Actually, one of the last part or the outro of Morpheus, heavily influenced by Doomsday by Architects. That was funny. We were like, hey, that's actually a very nice ending. Should we try something like that? Then we told our drummer, like, hey, try to play this. Then when he played, and then everyone else came in after that, layering and whatnot. So that's Architects. What other stuff we...
I think on top of that, we are also fans of While She Sleeps and, like, Polaris.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You definitely can hear some influences in the EP, I would say.
If not this EP, then it has to be the next one.
And then maybe going back to the Singapore Lion City post-hardcore scene, are there any other bands from Singapore that maybe, you know, you guys draw influence from or at least, like, admire in that kind of way?
Oh, personally, for me, are they considered post-hardcore? I think they are. Okay. This other band, they actually are our good friends from this band called Tel Eye Vision. They just went through a pretty rough time as a band, and they just lost. As in, when I say lost, it feels like he passed on, but no. Their vocalist left the band to pursue his personal stuff. And for me, even though they are friends, but I really, really looked up to the vocalist of the band. His name is Hasif. His voice is just on a different level, man. Like, his cleans and his screams is just amazing. Yeah, Dan will know how much I fanboy about him. But yeah, it's funny because you're a fan, but at the same time, you are your friends. Other than television, I think, who else then? Post-hardcore.
I think Shinsena is also an up-and-coming band in Singapore.
Although they are, bro, these boys are like, what, 21, 20? I mean, in Singapore, we serve our national service, right? For 2 years. They haven't even gone and served the national service. That's how young they are. They're still like schooling and shit not, but they are amazing, man. Like, we clicked, we became friends almost overnight. And for our EP launch that just happened last week, they are the ones that, you know, helped us to get the show going and everything. They really organized the whole show. Yep, Shinsena is one of them. Who else? A lot of the post-hardcore bands in Singapore, especially during our time, I think they're on hiatus now.
When you guys first started out, like, who were some of the, I guess, like, the established post-hardcore bands in Singapore at the time?
Oh, Tights, I guess. Tights, we started almost the same time as Television. Bills, is Caracal considered post-hardcore? Almost there. Yeah, technically Caracal. Exhibitors is more hardcore, but we love their stuff as well. Yeah, these are to just name a few. Oh, Vacant Affair, how can I forget? Am I missing anyone? West Grand Boulevard, are they? I think the ones that are still active is Caracal. But even so, they don't really play much local shows anymore. They go on tours and whatnot. Yeah. It's all the OGs, I guess. And before that, it's all the heaviest stuff in Singapore.
Nice. And so, you know, going forward, you know, these releases will culminate to an album. Are there any other, like, you know, comic series, you know, whether it's like by DC or Marvel, that you guys might draw influence on for future releases, perhaps?
I think for this one, not really. We're going to focus solely on the Sandman. But of course, we're going to draw influences from, I don't know, life, I guess, or like the current happenings in the world. I mean, all our songs talk a lot about the issues that's happening in this world. Talks a lot about all the negative stuff in your life, the darkness in you and whatnot. And I don't know, man, I used to be an emo kid. So personally for me, being emo and having all this negative energy in you, you have to have an outlet. And I think that the whole band feels the same way. We all, I mean, everybody has their dark side and whatnot, right? So to have an outlet, to have an avenue, which is the band, and to write songs about the darkness within you is just important, you know? If it's not music, then it has to be something else. If not, that's where you're just gonna spiral down and down and down, and whatever comes after that might not be good. But to specifically talk about whether we're going to draw influence from, you know, or inspiration from other DC or Marvel stuff, I don't think so. It's specifically for Sandman, and yeah.
This is just a random question, but, or a suggestion actually. Would you guys dress up in the characters?
Did you do that for your release show?
No, we didn't.
Okay, I think you guys should.
Like, we thought about it, but like I said, like, the band is more of an outlet for us to, you know, release all our darkness within, right? And I feel like us being ourselves on stage and however we dress up personally, it feels more genuine. And the fact that we take influence from Sleep Token, and if we were to, like, you know, dress up with that, with the whole get up and whatnot, people are gonna be like, shit, this band is really a Sleep Token copy. For example, you know, and that's something that we really don't want, and we want to, like, put everything like away, put everyone's minds away from that. Like, okay, you know, they are drawing influence from Sleep Token, but they're not trying to copy Sleep Token. We thought about it. Like, it'd be cool, you know, to dress up as Morpheus Smith. Anyways, we won't even look that good, lah. We won't look as good as the characters in the Sandman. Yeah, Faraday is like four big guys plus a good-looking guy. Yeah, man. Like four big bouncing balls in front of the stage, and one cool guy at the back, one muscular guy at the back. But yeah, we get you. Like, it would have completed the look, but we realized that, hey, you know what? Maybe not for this one. We'll see. If everything goes well, maybe we'll do the next one.
All right, and that was our chat with Faraday from Singapore about their new EP, Delirium, which came out earlier in Jan. Really interesting chat about not just the EP, but also the Sandman comic and TV series and how that sort of ties into the themes of this album as well.
It's quite a short EP as well, which is what I'm surprised about. But hey, they did say it was a trilogy, so three parts to it.
Yeah.
And I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah. So they'll have two more EPs coming out this year, and then they will be finishing the trilogy with a full-length album, which combines all the three EPs with some new songs as well. So,
like bonus tracks.
Yeah, kind of like bonus tracks. So definitely, if you guys are going to follow them from the programming today, then do keep an eye out for that. Up next is another song from the EP. This is a track actually named after the main character from the Sandman series. This is Morpheus from Faraday's EP, Delirium.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.